Tight formation right and left. Second down and goal at the two. B-back McKenzie, Holland, and Terry the A's. Under center is Burks. In motion starts Holland, and it'll go to the left side. Touchdown, Chandler Burks. Boy, he started it to the left. There was nobody home. He walked into the end zone, and the Owls have taken it 89 for the first points of the game.
And, of course, when you get close to the end zone, who else is going to run the ball but Chandler Burks, Mr. Touchdown himself. Scored four touchdowns last week, three rushing touchdowns. Did a great job going off the left, dialing up his own number, picking up his first six of the day for the Owls.
And now here's a play fake by Burks. Keeps it himself, breaks into the secondary. First down and more, and pushes the pile all the way to the 31-yard line. Chandler Burks with a big gainer all the way to the 31, and the Owls are threatening here. Sumter comes to the left, Harper and Holland to the right. Shotgun Burks with McKenzie flanking him right. Chandler takes the snap and drops to throw. Wide open lane in which to run. Breaks a couple tackles and knifes through. Takes it all the way down around the 17-yard line. That'll be an Owl first down. 38 seconds on the clock. On the ball quickly, they'll set the chains and start it again. Attempt of 35 yards for Justin Thompson with 14 seconds left to go in the half. Nathan told you about the condition of the field. Snap is a good one. Spot is down. Kick has the distance and is through there and good. And with 9 seconds left to go in the half, the Owls have regained the lead. It's a 40-yard attempt from the near hash, Justin Thompson. Snap, spot, kick is on the way, and it is right through there and good. And the Owls settle for three. 8:44 left to go in the third. Owls pulled to within one. McKenzie the B-back. Shivers and Reed in the game as the A's in motion. Starts Reed. Give McKenzie off to the right. Knifes into the secondary, into the open 40, all the way to the 35, and carries tacklers all the way to the 29-yard line. That's the Jake McKenzie we've watched three straight games, and make it a fourth. A big gainer all the way to the 29 of Montana State.
Bunch everybody in tight. B-back McKenzie, under center is Burks. Third and 10 from the 15, dropping to throw. Here comes the pressure. Chandler going to step up in the pocket, floats it down the field. Caught! Far side, did he hang on? T.J. Reed hangs on out at the 30-yard line. Bryson McKay blade the wood to him, but T.J. Reed converts one of the biggest plays in
less than a yard. Burks under center in motion, starts Terry. Sumter to the left, Harper to the right. Gamble by the coaches here. Fourth down, less than a yard from the 18-yard
line. Right up the middle. Keep going with what works.
Burks takes the snap. Give McKenzie. Jake's got the first down, down around the 15-yard line. Third and three. Harper right. Sumter left. Rex Steiner, the B-back. Shivers and Reed of the A's. Option coming this way. Keeping it Burks into the secondary. Breaks a tackle and takes it all the way down around the 27-yard line. Huge third down conversion. Jalen Cole made the stop on the play, but not before a huge Chandler Burks
first down.
Fourth down
and two.
Crowd roaring here. B-back McKenzie. Owls need to get it to nearly the 47-yard line. Reed and Holland are the A's. Sumter left, Harper right. In motion starts Holland. Option far side, keeping it Burks. First down, down around the 45. 3:13 left to go. Fourth down here. Owls need the 35. McKenzie in the backfield with Burks, who will be forced to go shotgun. Three-man front for Montana State. Burks takes the snap and drops to throw. Flicks it out of the backfield, caught by Holland, turns it upfield, first down, and takes it to the 28-yard line.
Thompson,
and they have an extra player on the field. Snap, spot, kick is going to be through there, and it's good. Minute 55 left to go. The Owls take the lead, and the officials didn't call it, but they had an extra player on the field.
They actually had 13.
Three receivers to the left, Jabari Johnson to the right. Lassane in the backfield, and after a low snap, Murray guns it near side, intercepted! Intercepted Taylor Hinkle at the 32-yard line! Biggest play of the game, and the defense comes up huge. The clock cannot stop, and Kennesaw State has won their program record 8th consecutive game. They come to Montana and beat Montana State 16-14. This is the Final Word Podcast, and it's Charleston Southern Week. Brian Giffen, Nathan McCreary, and Brandon Joseph joining us here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. As, of course, guys, we're a couple of days ahead of every week now. It's the biggest game of the year. Obviously, the Owls come off a Very impressive, a very big win, I think, for a lot of reasons out at Montana State. But, you know, here lies the other of those two challenges you still haven't accomplished in Charleston Southern. Their record's not as good. Everything that you've seen about them would tell you their offense isn't quite as prolific as it's been. But their defense remains a real constant, especially the front four. And this is a team that defensively is good enough. Their defense can make enough plays for them to win the game. Big challenge for the Owls. And I would think on the other side, on the upside, even though you come off the long trip to Montana and a hard-fought win out there, an emotional win, there's no way the emotions aren't sky-high for this one.
Yeah, and I think coming off that win, it's a non-conference win, a big trip. They got to play in the snow. They got the big national attention continuing to focus on Kennesaw State and the FCS level. And you got Charleston Southern coming in here, who's winning games like a 7-0 win at Gardner-Webb. 10-9 game in the last final seconds at Gardner-Webb. Offensively, they're just not there. But the defense is stout. Kennesaw State, with the #1 rushing defense in the country, is going to come up against probably their toughest challenge all year.
Yeah, for Kennesaw State, we mentioned how important this game was last week to Montana State, a game that really had no direct impact or correlation on the season goals, and that's winning the Big South, but important nonetheless. You go in there, you handle business, you overcome adversity, and yeah, now you have to face a Charleston Southern team, and how many teams have we said this year? Their record is not indicative of how they play. They have a loss against an FBS team also.
Two of them.
And they're 5-4, so you take away those two games, they're 5-2, and this is a very good team. They played Monmouth very well. They fought. They came back against Monmouth. They were down 23-0 at a point, lost the game 23-20. This is a scrappy team. This is a team that really just wants to inhibit the Owls' chance to win the Big South, because by doing that, Charleston Southern still has, albeit an outside chance, but a chance nonetheless to win the conference championship themselves.
Well, they would have to have some help indeed, but you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Coach Bohannon and I talked about that yesterday. You know, we think about how big a game it is for the Owls, but in reality, it's equally as big a game for Charleston Southern, who's a proud program, two-time defending conference champion, and a team that, while they still have a chance, they're going to fight tooth and nail to try to get their way in there. One of the things I think we can look for in this one, you know, we've lamented and we've talked a lot the last several weeks about the effectiveness from the Owls of the inside run game. That's going to be a tall order this week against this Charleston Southern front four, anchored by Anthony Ellis, but Brown, a couple others along that front, are really stout, and running the ball on the inside is going to be a challenge against these guys.
They're only averaging about 110 yards for the opponent on rushing side, so they're 20th in the country in that category. But they're also not very good on third down. It looks like, and Kennesaw State's excellent on third down. We saw that at Montana State and really all season long. With Kennesaw State picking up 8 wins in a row after that first loss in Samford, they have the momentum, and we saw this on the calendar towards the end of the season, circle it and said, that's probably your championship-type game. We didn't know Monmouth was going to be so big. This is the game you kind of been waiting for and you don't want to let down.
Yeah, and for Kennesaw State, there is business up ahead at Monmouth no matter what happens in this game, but this is still a very important thing for them, and it's against a defense that's going to test them. But again, going back to the original point, how many times have we said, hey, they're going to face a team that defensively is probably very big, very strong. Kennesaw State's going to have to use that lateral run game to string them out, to stretch them out, and then hopefully that opens up the inside run. You had a great inside run game, especially from Jake McKenzie last week against Montana State. You're going to need that again today, but it also starts by stretching them out and doing that lateral run game.
You know, one of the things about Charleston Southern that's a little bit misleading, so coming into this game, they're averaging about 25 points a game, but they were shut out by the two FBS opponents. Mississippi State beat them 49-0. Indiana up in Bloomington beat them 27-0. And then, of course, we talked about the 7-0 game against Presbyterian, the 10-9 win last week against Gardner-Webb. Where they've hung a bunch of points up have been against teams like Point, Mississippi Valley State, and they played one other one. It escapes
Savannah
me.
State.
Savannah State's the other one. So, it's interesting. They've piled up a bunch of points against what I guess on their schedule, you never disrespect anybody, but on their schedule, that'd be more the cream puff teams they would have played. So they've piled up all kinds of points against them, but they've struggled to score against more legit competition. I would think based on the way the Owls have scored points, it would fail favor Kennesaw State. Certainly, if you can go and build yourself a two-score lead and not do something disastrous like have an option disrupted by Anthony Ellis, as happened here 2 years ago, that leads to a, directly to a touchdown, I think if you avoid those kinds of things and play your game, you should be okay.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. And but, you know, when you look at Charleston Southern and anybody that's following this team, you see that their offense hasn't scored points. But on the ground, they're pretty tough also. They're averaging 198 yards per game on the ground, 23rd in the country. So Kennesaw State's defense is also going to have to be ready for that pounding game also. This is a team that averages 30 minutes per game, very similar to Kennesaw State, who is up around 33 minutes as far as time of possession. They're going to hold the ball. They're going to grind it as well.
Possession will be at a premium at this in this game, and that's going to mean, hey, you have to get points. You have to maximize those possessions. So you can't risk, hey, it may cost us three. No, you need those three. You can't be in those situations. So coaching is also going to be at the premium. Brian Bohannon has been very open that a lot of times that's his biggest thing. He gets in those situations, and then all of a sudden he may have to take a timeout to try to think through a situation, you know, being in only his third year as being a head coach. This is going to be the premium point too. So you have to take points every chance you can get, and that always has to be in the back of your mind. With both teams basically at 30 minutes time of possession, there's not going to be any extra possession. You're not going to be able to see where you can steal a possession.
Well, you know, the other trends that certainly favor the Owls. Charleston Southern has struggled, particularly of late, turning the ball over. Turned it over three times a week ago. I think they turned it over four or five the week before. And the Owls, on the other hand, well documented. I think it's now 18 interceptions on the season. They're at plus 14 or plus 15 in the giveaway takeaway margin. Coach Bohannon made the point yesterday, and you'll hear it on the pregame show this Saturday, that winning the turnover battle in this one is going to be paramount, because you do that, you're gaining a possession, and you're taking one away.
Well, isn't it nice to good football goes back to limit your penalties and don't turn the ball over. Early on the season, we're talking about this running game up the middle wasn't there. The defense was, you know, had some issues. They're not playing 60 minutes of football. We've become past that, and now we're worried about those things that – generally, you worry about penalties and turnovers, and that's going to be key. Kennesaw State it was a tough game in Montana State.
Yep.
You never want to bash the officials. It's a tough gig, but you got to overcome those type of calls that you disagree with. But, penalties have been an issue for Kennesaw State. They can't go out there and lay 9-10 penalties. And they've been getting a lot of penalties in the first half, which really stymies your offensive momentum.
The thing about Charleston Southern is they start really slow also. That game against Monmouth, 23-0, they didn't get points on the board until, I believe, late in the second quarter or the third quarter. So for Kennesaw State, that's where the advantage is. But what do we say about Kennesaw State? They come in and out of halves and games with the whole momentum problem, the whole, hey, there's not a lot of energy to begin with. You need to come out there with high energy and high momentum to take control of this game early, because that's where Charleston Southern's at their weakness. If you can get a pick on the first or second drive and get those points off of turnovers, then you create Charleston Southern a game where they're always playing catch-up. They're always behind, and Kennesaw State has done a great job. And you look at that last turn of events at Montana State. Great job of playing defense. Solid. Not that whole, we're going to play prevent, that soft defense. That defense at the end of the game was a full, second or third quarter defense, and that's why they got an interception. Teams don't expect that late in the game. So if Kennesaw State can do that early and play solid defense, that leads to more points off of turnovers, and then you get that whole punch-in-the-mouth effect that you're taking out a team early.
Nathan referenced it a couple minutes ago, and it bears mentioning. I mean, Coach Bohannon and I, when we spoke yesterday, he was as livid, I think, about this game from the officiating standpoint as I've ever seen. Actually, maybe the one exception would be the Dayton game, the very first year, where he really felt like, and he said the same thing about this game. We're an unknown quantity, certainly in that part of the country. You've got in the Dayton case, it was a Pioneer League crew. In this case, it's a big sky crew. It's one of those what they call money games, although not a great big one. And a coach made the point, and you don't typically hear him talk like this, that, at one point or the other, he said to the officials, I know that if it's left in your hands, you guys aren't going to let us win this game.
Wow.
He pulled his team aside and said, you know what? We have gotten the short end of the stick on this all day long, and we have to go overcome it, and we have to go find a way to win the football game. I don't want any of you to worry about it anymore. Get out there, play your game, find a way, get down there and win the game. And to their credit, they did. And while I'm on this topic, I got to tell you, I've been doing this a long time, And, you know, I've seen all kinds of different calls from officiating crews, some good, some bad. Most of the time, the best officials are the ones that you don't particularly notice,
right,
because they're just doing their job and calling what they see. I probably, more so than I've ever been, was so incredulous by some of the things that we saw that I probably let it get the better of me a little bit, and I apologize if that was the case to anyone that was listening, but it was so unbelievable. It was so one-sided, and it wasn't as much, Nathan, you were there,
yeah,
wasn't as much the things they were calling as much as it was the things they were calling on one end that was everything, and the things that they were blatantly missing,
yeah,
on the other side, like the 13 guys on the field for what turned out to be the game-winning field goal. You know, that's a fourth and one. It's 1:55 left to go in the game. So if they call that, then all of a sudden you've got the opportunity. Maybe you do gamble taking some points off the board, but you have the opportunity to possess the ball another minute, minute and a half, drive it down, get a little closer in, make it more of a chip shot, or you might end up in the end zone and just put the game away. But for my purposes as a professional, for anybody who was listening to that, if I was a little harsh on them, I'm sorry about that, but that literally, in my mind, is how bad it was, and you were even closer to it than I was.
Yeah, it was frustrating, and the team was frustrated down there, but, you know, we're close to these players. We're close to these coaches. And
we're Kennesaw State's announcers.
And I'm an alumni here.
Yeah.
So, you know, you the passion's still there. You want your team to win. And sometimes, you know, when you get a call, you're not as vocal about it. But when the call goes against you, you are very vocal.
Sure.
I thought it was really, really one-sided. We do try and be neutral. But
of course,
good teams, and you've seen that, good teams overcome all kind of challenges. It took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like 35 years to win a game under 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, here comes a Kennesaw State
team. Took 26 to win a game, period.
Yeah, that's right.
Games, that is.
Yeah. You know, here comes a team from the South. And let me just tell you, I think Montana State thought Kennesaw State was going to go up there and be really rattled by the snow.
And the noise.
Really rattled by the cold and really rattled by the noise. They allow those cowbells up there. It was loud, and we sat on the plane listening to Chandler talk about how difficult it was to make check calls because he couldn't hear and the line couldn't hear him. Good teams overcome those types of adversities, and this is just that check the box for Kennesaw State. They have now gone up into a big region, a big sky region, in the snow. Game time kickoff was like 22 degrees.
Yep.
It's the coldest ever in Kennesaw State history, the short history. But they went up there. They made it through the snow. They made it through the noise. And they came out and really, really played well despite all the penalties. And some were earned, some weren't. But despite all the penalties, they came out with a victory. Man, that is a huge, huge, you know, notch in that belt.
For false starts, Coach Bohannon will never be okay with that.
That's a mental mistake.
Anything that the referees can't control, they have to call it every time. But watching that game at home in the comfort of 72 degrees in my apartment, you look at the game and you got the sense that the referees won. They didn't know who Kennesaw State was.
Yeah.
And they were guilty as that regional media. You know, I pulled up a lot of local Montana, the Bozeman newspaper, and they were talking about Kennesaw State. They don't know a lot about Kennesaw State.
Yep.
And these are regional refs. That's what a lot of people don't understand. At the FCS,
there's a big sky crew.
At the FCS levels, there are a lot of regional refs. Those refs don't travel too far out of that big sky region. So they didn't know. And they knew what the context of the game was. Kennesaw was supposed to come up to Montana State and play, you know, a former national champion in Montana State and go and take a beating and then go home. So the referees all have that in their back of their mind. That doesn't mean they lack professionalism, but they know what they see from
they're human, after all.
What they see from Montana State covering their games and calling their games and refereeing their games all year. They're used to those things. They see this spread option from Kennesaw State, something that a lot of – we mentioned the players from Montana State last week not seeing this before in their life. The referees may not have seen this before in person in their life. They only know how to go off the guidelines. They don't know – you know, the little the insides of the thing and what to allow and what not to allow. You have to overcome that. And the Kennesaw State Owls did a great job of overcoming
that. And I'll just say, no one believes the refs were high-fiving each other.
No, of course not.
You know, it's just kind of like human nature.
Preconceived
being
notions.
Preconceived notions, human nature. And, you know, but what Kennesaw State did, they overcame that big unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Justin Sumter and
there were a number.
TP.
I don't think it was, and even in our case where, yeah, we were pretty questioned, you know, we were pretty hard on questioning, and it's kind of those, how do you miss that? I mean, just like the blatant hold. I think it was Mackenzie Billingsley who broke through the line of scrimmage and was pulled down by the front of the shoulder pads, you know, by the right hand of the guy, the guard that had the assignment to block him. So with the back judge right there, how do you miss that? Then back to the, you know, the two guys that are trying to run off the field but didn't get anywhere close to off on the game-winning field goal. And then the aforementioned personal foul where, you know, the whistle doesn't blow. You can't tell, literally, even in the booth, if it's an incomplete pass or a lateral because it's kind of parallel to where the quarterback is. And a back picks it up and starts to run with no whistle. A defensive player
to the whistle.
Has to make a tackle there. But anyway, I wanted – you know, we addressed it on a couple of fronts because it was a factor in the game. But professionally, I also felt compelled to point out that if I was a little hard on him, that's kind of uncharacteristic for me, and I'll try to keep that in check a little bit more as we go forward. I think part of it, too, guys, with a now an 8-game winning streak, we, as the broadcast crew here, you know, you get emotionally invested in it. You see how hard these coaches have worked. You know how these players have grown up, and it's easy to get a little wrapped up in that. And I think as a result, maybe get a little bit more frustrated when you see it so unevenly administered the way that it was.
Well, there's a reason why a lot of these TNT, TBS, they go to these homer broadcaster in the Final Four because fans like homers, right? They just do. And that's the way it's always been, especially in the South. I think it's probably more prevalent in the South, and you grew up in Indiana, Ohio area. But, you know, we're a homer broadcast. We love this team, but we certainly just want to see good football put on a good football product on the field by Kennesaw State. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
And it's only palatable because Kennesaw State did win the game. Now, don't get it wrong that if they end up losing this game and let's say Justin Thompson misses that field goal attempt and Kennesaw State goes on to lose, there is no remedy to the situation.
No.
There is no apologizing.
And I think that's why it's so upsetting when you're actually watching it happen.
Yeah, and watching that at home, I'm sitting there with the DVR going back and forth, counting guys. I can count past 11.
Yeah.
I know these officials can count past 11. There is a back judge that's supposed to just be counting
and a
the
side judge
players
on the
field. Yeah. And when you have two guys scrambling and three more guys looking to see, hey, should I go off too? That's key number one, of throw the flag first and let's figure it out later. And the referees just didn't do it. But you know what? It's cool. Kennesaw State won. Hey, I'll say it. We won. We move on.
Yeah. Good point. Well, guys, as we continue along here, Brandon Joseph had a chance to catch up with Jake McKenzie, who, of course, has put together four or five really good games in a row and has really been a big key to that inside run game.
Jake, a big win last week on the road at Montana. How was it playing 23 degrees and in the snow?
It was pretty nice. There wasn't much wind, so it wasn't a miserable cold, but it was a really cool experience. It's something I'd never been a part of before, and I thought it was really awesome the whole time, the whole trip.
A 10-minute, 3-second drive to go down there and kick the game-winning field goal. Got to talk to Coach Barron, and he was part of that Navy team that did 14 minutes in the Emerald Bowl. But what was it like being on that drive, knowing what was on the line?
I mean, we try to treat it just like another drive, but obviously you know the stakes that come in with that drive. You know, it's nerve-wracking a little, but once you run a couple plays in the drive, you get settled in, and you just run into plays that are called. So you try to make it like it's just another drive in the game, you know.
Nathan McCreary talks about on the sideline how confident you guys always seemed, especially during that drive. Was that really the case inside the huddle? Was that the case lining up, knowing that, hey, it's right in front of us, let's just take it?
Absolutely. We got some older guys on the team now. I mean, on the offensive side and defensive side too, but offensive side we got some older guys. And we are a little, you know, more confident than we've been before in, you know, driving down the field. And that's, you know, it obviously helps out a lot. Gives you a good feeling when you go out on the field in a, you know, in crunch time or not crunch time. Just, you know, it makes you more confident going out there that you can get the job done.
You were challenged a couple weeks ago. Your team, the offensive line and the two backs, were challenged to get 100 yards between the two backs. You guys have met that challenge every week. Talk about rising to the occasion.
Yeah, we, you know, it just really all goes in when we practice every, you know, practice hard every day. And you got to credit the linemen giving us two backs big holes to run through. They kind of make it easy a lot of the time. So it's really just us going into practice every day and working hard on our fundamentals and stuff like that.
You're going to face a very good front seven. They're very experienced. How important is it to still have that element of being able to run inside?
it's huge. We're going to need to be able to run everything, you know, we can this week, inside, outside run, throw the ball. So it's huge. We're going to have to get the inside running game going for sure. But that, and that's with any game, you know, we need to be able to get all that stuff rolling. So it's definitely huge.
Your quarterback, Chandler Burks, is on the Walton Payton watch list for the Walton Payton Award. Talk about his play this year. It seems like a lot of his decision, especially when he comes around the edges, making one guy make the wrong choice, and he's been making them make the wrong choice more times than not, but the growth of him as the quarterback.
He's done a great job, a really good job, like you said, you know, making the right reads almost every single play. It's fun to watch him, fun to be, you know, on the field with him. He helps me make plays right and things like that. And I saw that he was on the watch list too. He'd definitely have my vote if I had a vote.
Well, last time Charleston Southern came to Fifth Third Bank Stadium, you were starting under center at quarterback. Talk about that game where they celebrated on your field. Have you guys forgot about that at all?
No, we definitely remember that. And we obviously don't want it to happen again, so we kind of got a little chip on our shoulder with that image in our heads. That's something we don't ever want to see again, you know. So this week we'll come out with plenty of motivation and intensity ready to play on Saturday.
How do you guys as a team, being a player-led team, keep focus on, you know, big goals are up ahead, but you need to take care of business up in front of you?
Right. What we try to do is take it one day at a time. Can't look ahead, because you start looking ahead, then that's when, you know, you'll start spiraling downward. So we try to take it one day at a time, take it one meeting at a time, one practice at a time, so we don't, you know, get too ahead of ourselves, because, you know, if we start looking ahead, we'll lose what we got going right now. So we try to take it one day at a time.
We've said this so many times this year, the most important game coming up. How important is it to have a good turnout at Fifth Third Bank? How important is it to have that student section and keep that place rocking and bring the fight?
It's huge. When we run out on the field, people may not think it, you know, we do notice, you know, what the seats look like. And when we see that they are filled up, you know, it gives us a little extra boost. So it definitely is huge. And the noise that they bring to the game is huge, you know, in certain points of the game. So that's what we want people to understand, is that they play a huge role in the game, you know. So it definitely gives us a big boost when we see the stadium filled. And we'll need it definitely this week.
Time of possession is going to be at a premium. Both teams possess the ball about equally, 30 minutes a game. How important is it to come out and execute early and, you know, put something up on the board just to let them know that, hey, they're going to have their possessions at a premium?
Yeah, you definitely never want to miss opportunities to put points on the board. That's with any team, and especially with a team who holds the ball 30 minutes a game. But like you said, executing, doing what we got to do, you know, if it takes a long drive, it takes a long drive. We really need to get points on the board, and it hurts you no matter who you're playing if you get down and don't get any points on the board. So it's huge that we put some drives together and, you know, score a few touchdowns for sure.
Cool. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, Jake. And guys, the Owls take on Charleston Southern here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium, and you certainly hope to have a raucous crowd here. This is as big a game. Again, they all are bigger and bigger and bigger in this. Now, the third year, but also the most legitimate shot at winning this conference outright. Step one, now that we've already got nine of them out of the way, step one right here is beating Charleston Southern, and that is a nemesis of sorts, if you can call a team a nemesis after only two meetings.
Well, and this is going to be a very veteran club coming in, and from the very beginning of the season when they did media days and they released Kennesaw State and Charleston Southern as co-champions, you knew this game was going to be big late in the season at home for Kennesaw State. Of course, you have no idea how the season's going to go. You know you're playing that big game at Sanford. That's what you kind of focused on that first week. You pick up a loss there. Now you've strung eight games together in a row. Just looking at the schedule, with Charleston Southern and Monmouth being in your way, they're the final two games of the season. This couldn't have been laid out better than by the Big South.
Yeah, this is the
no doubt.
This is the most ultimate thing for Kennesaw State. And we mentioned last week of, you know, the next two home games could be the two biggest home games in Kennesaw State history. These are the two biggest home games in Kennesaw State history. They may be the two biggest games in general in Kennesaw State history. And what Kennesaw State has an advantage in, something that we have not been able to say in a lot of games in the past couple of years, is they have the head coaching advantage.
Yeah.
Charleston Southern has a first-year head coach. Coach Brohannon has been around here. He's in his third year. He knows how this works. So for maybe the first time in program history, you know, Jamie Chadwell leaves Charleston Southern, goes to be the assistant at Coastal Carolina, ends up interim head coach due to Joe Moglia's health problems. Kennesaw State has the head coaching advantage, more experienced head coach in those situations. And in a game where possessions are at a premium, you want that head coaching advantage.
And there's no better teacher and no better motivator than failure. The Owls haven't experienced a whole lot of failure, but they have experienced failure twice against this team. Not only have they experienced that failure, but they've been forced to sit there and watch that team celebrate on the other side of the field now twice, you know, including, of course, in a way here a couple of years ago that several of the Kennesaw State players weren't especially fond of. So I think motivation, I think maybe the job of the coaches, the toughest thing for the coaches, maybe keeping the emotions in check a little bit and not having them go out there with such a chip on their shoulder that they're just so amped up that they end up tight because they're so fired up.
Yeah, and if you are wondering whether the players remember, you know, as broadcasters, we remember. Do the players remember? They do. I got a chance to sit in front of Kibo and TP on the plane. Coming home from Montana State, both of them were talking about, we watched them celebrate 2 years in a row. Yep. It's now our turn. Of course, they can't celebrate at the end of the game because they've got the big Monmouth game coming up, but they don't want to allow Charleston Southern to come in here and pick up a W and stop the momentum.
We had Chandler Burks on this very podcast prior to this game last year, and he sat here and said, I don't like this team. You know, this team came in here and they rubbed it in our faces. They disrespected us. And, of course, we know how it went down there last year. Right. But we tried to get him on this week, but class schedules wouldn't allow it. But I guarantee you, he is one of the emotional leaders and offensively the emotional leader on this team. You know, the player-led team angle, all those veterans that have watched this twice, the coaching is taking care of itself this week.
Yeah, for these players, and it's a player-led team, you know what you want? You want players that don't like the teams that they're playing for. Mm-hmm. Now, after the game's over, favorable result or not, shake hands, be cordial, but you're hoping to play that fight song in that end zone and watch Charleston Southern have to hang their heads and walk under the banner and hop on their buses and go home.
Well, so it's the Owls against Charleston Southern here. That is a 3:30 kickoff here Eastern Standard Time now that we have flipped it away from that daylight stuff again. We will be on the air here in the Atlanta area on 1230 The Fan 2 as well as 106.3 FM with pregame coverage at 3 o'clock and a kickoff to follow between the Owls and the CSU Buccaneers a little after 3:30 Saturday afternoon. Haven't looked ahead, guys, to see what you know the weather conditions would be like yet, but I don't think that's going to matter. This is going to be an emotional game. I don't know that weather is going to favor either side. They both like to run the ball. They kind of run similar offenses to each other. So, you know, there may be less advantage option-wise against this defense than there are against others because you practice against a little different version of it, and you could make that case for both teams.
Yeah, and I think that what if you go back and listen to any of the press conferences of coaches going into a game against Kennesaw State, they say they run their style of the option. Kennesaw State has their style. Charleston Southern has their style, but they are similar. The defense have been seeing it all year. This is going to be about keys, discipline, and who can start that running game on the inside still, I think, is always the key to spread it out on the outside and maybe get Justin Sumpter involved for Kennesaw State.
And for the Owls, they'll be playing in mid-50 degrees weather, no cloud cover, no rain.
Well,
no snow.
Now we do have a forecast.
No snow.
Thank
and
you, Mr. Helper.
For the Owls, maybe the snow would have been an advantage for them, given what we saw last week. But no, it's going to be back to your core principles. Contain, pursue, get hats to the ball offensively. And offensively, yeah, you're going to have to get that middle game going, but you're going to need to have another facet, whether it be the outside run and keeping lateral, you know, advantage or being able to pass it over the top. You're going to need to be very dynamic, and the team that can be the most dynamic in this game will be the team that wins.
Well, there's two things that would help establish and help set up a little bit more effectiveness in that inside run game, and that is, of course, getting it to the perimeter and having some success early. It doesn't have to be 25-yard runs. We're talking about 5, 6, 7-yard runs so that you maybe start to get those D linemen focused a little bit on we got to go help to the outside. The other thing about it is at least some minimal amount of balance being able to throw the ball. Doesn't have to be down the field, but some check and underneath stuff that to help you pick up first downs. Coach made that point too, converting third downs and moving the chains and going and getting first downs against this bunch. You know, you're not going to go run it down their throats. Right. We know that. And you have to possess the ball, and you're going to have to pick up a lot of first downs, and you're going to have to convert some thirds and maybe a couple of fourths along the way. And that last drive against Montana State prepared him well for that.
Yeah, we saw some really big drives with Kennesaw State starting deep in their zone. Whether they was able to get it out to the 30 or 40 and flip the field, or those big, long, chunky eating drives, which I was reading some of the Montana State coverage of the game, and that was the first thing. They had never seen that type of 11-minute type drive that Kennesaw State put together. But, you know, Charleston Southern at the three levels of defense, defensive line, linebacker, and cornerbacks, I think their defensive backs probably the most vulnerable. You've got Ellis up front, and you got the linebacker Brown, and that's very good. Both Big South Conference.
Zane Cruz, another one that's tough.
So, you know, you may see one of those games where Chandler throws 10, 12, 13 times a game, which – he's been productive, and we've seen him with the ability to do that. That may be that kind of game we see from Kennesaw State.
And for Kennesaw State, you mentioned Montana State not used to seeing an 11-minute drive. Brian Bohannon was on that Emerald Bowl staff with Navy when Paul Johnson held the ball for over 15 minutes,
right,
the longest drive in NCAA football history. And for Kennesaw State, one of those drives can be a crippling drive. If you have a lead and you're able to do that, and that's what Navy did in that game. Kennesaw State's 11-minute drive had to come to take the lead, but if you get up and then all of a sudden you can rattle off a drive that is 9, 10, 11 yep. minutes, that is a soul-crushing thing when you look across at your opponent. So if Kennesaw State can get up early, whether it be by passing and then get a run game going and have a long drive, it may result in points, but it may result in boundless, you know, degrees of crushing Charleston Southern.
One thing before we jump out here and wrap this version of the final word up, don't ever discount the possibility of a little trickery either. Coach made the point that, you know, he felt like it would be important to make a play or two in special teams. But the other thing is, remember the first time these teams met here, first play of the game, the Owls ran that ghost play to Chasten Bennett down the sideline where it looked like he had stepped off. Now, they've changed the rules a little bit where you have to report as eligible and that kind of thing now. But I wouldn't be surprised, you know, since everybody knows the Owls want to establish the inside run game. I wouldn't be – they opened the game last week.
Right.
Throwing the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you see a little bit more throwing, maybe not in terms of the number of passes, but where they're thrown and the situations they're thrown in. The other great thing about Kennesaw State, and I'll close on this note, is that even though the passing numbers are obviously a big disparity compared to the run, and that's the way this offense is set up, the throws Chandler has made, go back to the Liberty game, massively important. I mean, the touchdown to Justin Sumter. And then you look at this last game, you know, the one to T.J. Reed where he was leveled on the play and he hung onto the ball for it to convert a huge third down at your own 15-yard line. And then the one to Darnell Holland on the other end of the field, that was a fourth down conversion that essentially got you 12 yards and put you into field goal range to win the game.
Yeah, but you don't want to get into a passing contest with Charleston Southern. Shane Bucknell is very good at passing also. He's actually passing efficiency is better than Chandler Burks. You want to ground that game and pound it, but if you have to, Kennesaw State has the tools to do it. We've seen them with that little chunky game towards Rex Steiner up the middle and with Jake McKenzie on that big play at Liberty and down the field with Justin Sumter. You do have the weapons if you have to go there, but, you know, and it was, I think it was the worst, best-kept secret that they're going to go deep to Justin Sumter on that first play as much as Montana State was talking about stopping the offensive run, and they did a great job shutting down Justin Sumter, honestly.
Yeah, they almost picked it off.
Yeah, they sure did. Man, I think he caught it, maybe bounced it out of bounds, but, yeah, you don't want to get into a passing contest with Charleston Southern. Both similar type offense. They both want to ground it on the ground, pound it all day long.
Kennesaw State is ripe for a lot of trickery if they so choose to. You have somebody in Jake McKenzie who was a quarterback for most of his life. You have somebody in Rex Steiner who has really good hands for a big dude and what he's able to do. So Kennesaw and Chandler Burke is an athlete in every sense of the word. He can catch, he can run, he can throw. So Kennesaw State is ripe for a trickery, something that they can file away, keep in the back pocket, and when the time's right, maybe one big play can change the course of a game, swing Uncle Mo in their direction.
We will find out this Saturday as the Owls take on Charleston Southern, biggest game of the year. We say that every week, and no truer words spoken than this time around. 3:30 kickoff, 3 o'clock airtime here in the Atlanta area, 12:30 The Fan 2 on AM, and 106.3 on the FM dial. You can also, of course, get the online broadcast either via the TuneIn app at 12:30 The Fan 2 or on AtlantaSportsStation.com. Simply click on the 1230 banner once you get to that page, and you'll get the broadcast. Thanks to Brandon Joseph. Thanks to Nathan McCreary. Tutan Reyes will rejoin us for the game on Saturday, and it'll be the Owls and the Buccaneers. And, boy, a huge step coming up potentially for Kennesaw State at getting closer to that first Big South Conference title. For all the aforementioned, I'm Brian Giffen. Thanks for listening to The Final Word. We'll talk to you Saturday, everybody.